Welcome to the monthly podcast, exclusively for Somerset Football Association referees.
Watch the referees now.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Wallace.
Hello again, and welcome to the Referees World podcast. I'm Darren Daly, and this is Somerset FA's County Training Officer, Richard Mellon.
Hello, Darren.
Back for more punishment.
Yes, here we are again. Already 4 weeks have passed.
OK, coming up in the show this month, we're going to have a look at some of your emails and some of your feedback as well. Plus, we've got the news headlines in just a moment. We have a slight change with our guest speaker today. It was going to be the original Silver Fox, but he's let us down. He's got a bit of man flu. We're talking about Roger Milford.
Yep, Roger done the 1991 FA Cup final, Spurs versus Nottingham Forest, and I'm sure those that can remember will remember the main talking point from that game.
Gazza.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. There you go.
We've also got some dates for your diary as well, and in terms of match incidents go, Rich, the one that we're going to use this month, have you heard of anything like this before?
No, I haven't. The closest I can get to is something like Erica Rowe.
We'll let you ponder on that one. Plus, I'm going to name and shame somebody. Can I do that now?
Do that with pleasure.
Yeah, this is a belter. Which Level 4 referee, based out of Bridgewater, came to pick myself up and my colleague Kieran Sammons to go to an FA Vars game at Downton, okay, just a few weeks ago. We jumped in the car and he says, sorry about this, guys, I'm going to have to nip back to Bridgewater because I've forgotten my boots. And we had to go back to Junction 24, get off the M5, stop in the lay-by there so that said referee could meet his wife with his boots. Any ideas who that might be?
I'd like to have a guess, but I already know, so I won't embarrass him. I'll leave that pleasure to you, Darren.
Alan Smith. Brilliant work. Yeah. Excellent.
Well done, Smithy. I would like to do another name and shame that's just come to mind, and this assessor knows who he is. He should have been going to Almondsbury in the Western League, but he ended up at Almondsbury Town, which was literally across the road. Not acceptable, Phil Willis.
Referees World. News update.
OK, Rich, what's making the news headlines since we last spoke?
Yeah, since we last had a chat, the Scottish referees have been on strike. There's been an incident involving the Manchester United versus Spurs. Gomez, the goalkeeper, there was an incident there. Mark Clattenburg was the referee. And, of course, there's been a reaction to the World Cup being awarded to Russia.
This is Referees World.
OK, let's pick up on your first point, Rich. Striking referees. This is quite unique, isn't it?
I know it's happened, I think, in Italy a couple of years ago, but it's not something that, personally, I go with. Working man all my life, I've never had to go on strike at all. I've been invited to go on strike, but I just cannot understand the purpose of going on strike. I don't know what it serves. The interesting thing about it was the referees that were called in from overseas, and I'll use the Portuguese referees in this case, they arrived at Glasgow Airport on the Friday and heard why they were there, contrary to what they believed, because they were told that they were there as an exchange idea. But when they heard that they were replacing the striking referees, they all turned around and went home again. So they had sympathy for the Scottish referees.
Is it at all possible that something like this could happen in the Premiership?
I suppose you can never say never. The guys are full-time employees. There is a union that they are members of, but I certainly wouldn't like to go into those areas of why they might and what reasons that they might use for a strike if they were ever to consider that.
OK, let's move on now to the reaction to not getting the World Cup in 2018.
Yeah, it's a real big statement from the FA. When Roger Burden comes out and makes a statement as he did, there is something seriously wrong.
Had the World Cup come to England, then people would have seen refereeing in a different light, and it may have encouraged youngsters to get on board and just, you know, start thinking, well, hang on a minute, there's more to football than just kicking the ball around. You know, there is a great career to be had there.
Absolutely.
By becoming an official.
Definitely. I mean, okay, if we go back to the World Cup in South Africa this year, England disappointingly got knocked out and we had a poor tournament. But if you look in the referees' world and thinking in the greedy sense of it, we had our match officials remain behind and they officiated the World Cup final. Mm. That is a fantastic accolade for English football and in particular refereeing.
And finally, let's talk about one incident which has made national headlines and international headlines. The one, of course, okay, it was a few weeks ago now, but it's been a big talking point and still crops up. And that's the Mark Clattenburg incident in the Manchester United Spurs game. Was he right in what he did? Rich.
Well, when you come down to it, if everybody can remember the incident, it involves the Man United centre-forward Nani. He's going through on goal. He goes down quite easily with a minor piece of contact from the Spurs defender. It's clearly not a penalty. He goes down and he puts his hand on the ball. Clearly it's seen on the camera that he put his hand on the ball. And
he wants to pick the ball up to go running to the penalty spot because that's what he believes should have happened.
That is a possibility, yeah. I suppose, yeah.
He thinks he's got a penalty. Yeah.
The next immediately happened, Gomez, the Tottenham goalkeeper, picked the ball up and advanced out towards the edge of the penalty area and all of a sudden throws the ball on the floor. My thought at that, watching that point, was, well, Gomez has obviously been invited to carry on, and there was no indication from the assistant referee that there was an offence, although I would believe that the assistant referee was talking in the communication system to the referee, and Mark said, get on with it, let's keep going, you've got the ball, and it was comfortably safe with no threat, but all of a sudden he puts the ball on the floor, and Nani, being as alive as what he was and very bright for that moment, he puts the ball in the back of the net. Technically, from my point of view, as I saw Mark's performance on the day, the only thing he did wrong was he didn't use the advantage signal, if that's what he was doing. But did he see the handball? I think he might have done, but I can't be guaranteed that he did. Did Simon Beck, the assistant referee, see the handball? Who knows? But I'm sure that they were talking about it.
So in law, he did everything right, he just didn't make it clearly visible that he played the advantage.
That's exactly how I see it.
Contact us now. Referees World Podcast at gmail.com.
Right, still to come then, we've got some dates for the diary. We have a cracking match incident to tell you about. First of all, here comes our special guest speaker. We were going to be speaking to one Roger Milford, but he's bogged down with the flu, and it must be quite a bad case, because there's the man that never shuts up. Isn't that right, Rich?
Yeah, that's very true. He's been struck down with a serious case of man flu.
So, we have level 5 referee from the Western RA, somebody who's not actually been doing it that long. You have to correct me, Sav, if I get this wrong. Sav Asiani?
That's correct.
Sav, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
At the moment, you're a level 5 going for level 4, is that right?
I am indeed, yeah, trying.
Just tell us a bit about your refereeing background thus far.
Well, I've been refereeing for now nearly 2 years. This is my second full season. So currently I'm trying to get level 4, refereeing Somerset Prem, and also currently doing Western and District at the Somerset Prem at the moment. Played football for 15 years.
Until you discovered you were a load of rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's what everyone kept telling me, you are rubbish. And I thought, I tell you what.
How old are you now, Sav?
25.
And what was it that first made you decide that you're going to quit playing the game and blow the whistle instead?
I decided that when I kept going to watch a friend of mine who's at a very good level, he's a level 2. I kept going to watch him, and being in that sort of world was, it was good. But after a while of watching him, I got fed up of watching him, and I thought, why not try it yourself?
Richard.
Yeah, hi Sav.
Hi,
I know who that man is that you're speaking of, and I remember those early days when we had conversations with young Richard Martin, and he was playing in goal for Western Supermare Reserves. How he was ever a goalkeeper at 5'8", I shall never know. So you took up the whistle, you went through the Western Supermare course. What was your first major challenge that you can remember in refereeing?
To be honest, my first major challenge was probably my first game, dealing with adults that have played it for a while and thought they know it all. And it's just dealing with that, really. It's just making decisions and getting them to accept it.
How did you convince them you knew what you were doing?
I don't know.
What do you think your skills were? Did you sort of?
I had to come across confident and knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And knew what I was doing. So, in effect, yeah, I'm a good actor.
How did you feel when you first went out onto the field of play?
I felt, strangely enough, I felt good. I felt like it was a new me. Because I played football for so long, I was always on a referee's back. And then to have it on to me, I then realised what it was all about. And I felt, yeah, I like this. I don't mind people moaning at me. At the end of the day, the referee's always right.
How did you feel when you came off there?
Once everyone had shaken my hand and congratulated me on, they sort of knew it was my first game and then said, you had a good game. That makes you feel 10 times better.
Let's move on to the academy now, Sav. Tell us how the academy's helped you.
The academy is just massive. It's a great way of learning. In the academy, we cover so much, and it's things that might happen on a football pitch, on the field of play, that hasn't happened to you as yet, and how you would deal with the situation in front of you.
What's the biggest challenge you've had then, Sav, when you refer to the field of play?
It was probably a mass confrontation, to be honest. It's knowing and keeping your eyes open for, because obviously there's 22 players on the field of play, and it's trying to keep your eye on what's going on and then calling over certain people and then saying, well, it wasn't me. And then you do doubt yourself. There's no doubt about it. But you've got to be confident and you've got to show that you know what you're doing. And
you're relating to confidence, and that's a real big thing, isn't it? Confidence and knowledge, and if you've got those two and a little bit of mobility, you're going to be on a good track to being a decent referee, yeah?
But that's what I would suggest. If anyone wants to join the academy, only join it if you want to learn.
And I would certainly back you up on that. And it's great to have the experience of people like Mike Cairns and Ron Ganfield as well, who are out there on Premiership lines two or three times a month as well, to learn and get that feedback and that experience from those guys.
Oh, without a doubt, it's the best thing in the world, really, isn't it? Because you can ask them questions. You sit on TV week in, week out, you ain't got a clue what's going on, really. You can ask them yourself at the academy. They tell you what the life's like, what's happened during the game, why it's happened, what certain people have done.
Sav, you've moved on to the regional academy now, and for those people that don't know what the regional academy is about, it's literally just happened in the last couple of months, isn't it? And it's been launched by the FA. What was your first experience of that meeting you attended about 6 weeks ago, would it be?
Yeah, it was a really good session. There was, I think there's about 30 members. I think 25 of them are level four. I think five of us are level five. It was a really good session to meet loads of different people. All these referees are from across, I think it's from Cornwall to Worcester.
Yeah, that's it.
We had a really good discussion. We were talking about presentation and appearance and attitudes and the way we should be going to our games.
It sounds very basic, but some of the basic stuff are the important things to follow, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. Too many people forget the basics though, nowadays, and we need to... That's where we all start off, and that's why we need to keep our feet on the ground.
Okay, mate. Well, the thing that comes across to me in such a short space of time that you've been involved with football referees is that your enjoyment and enthusiasm. At this moment, if your career finished, what would be your lasting memory having been involved?
Probably being put into the regional academy. I'm so privileged when I got the opportunity to go into it, because I've been nominated to go into it. It was an honour. And also to referee a cup final.
And which cup final was that, Sam?
It was the Keys Cup final.
Right, okay.
Cup final in your first season as a referee.
Yeah.
That must have been a daunting prospect. How did you feel?
It was a great honour, especially when they told me it was a great honour, and to walk out on the pitch and to see the crowd as well. I didn't expect so many people to be there watching. There was probably in the region of like 200 people there watching.
Were you nervous?
I was, yeah, I was a bit nervous. I get nervous before any game, but I think that's a good thing.
I don't think being nervous is a bad thing, no. How did you deal with your nerves, Sav?
As soon as I blew the first whistle, 2 minutes into it and it's all gone. And then it's just literally head on game, and then you become in the zone, as we say. And then you forget everyone else that's around you, and then you just concentrate on the 22 players and your two assistants.
What are your aspirations for the next, let's say 12 months? Where do you want to be in 12 months' time?
Well, hopefully, my first thing is to be a level four. That's my first goal to get. And then after that, hopefully, then it's just to be, if I did get level four, to consolidate myself as a level four.
If you talk about a bit of luck, what do you think your assets are as a young referee, having been there for just two seasons?
What I'm good at? I feel my biggest thing is reading the game.
Yeah.
What I think.
Yeah.
Fitness and mobility, I think. Getting around the pitch. I don't seem to stop running, to be honest.
What's the most difficult challenge in refereeing for you at the moment?
Is probably going left.
Would you like to explain a little bit more left? Because there are people that won't understand that comment.
Yeah, so getting a wider angle on the play. But so if you draw an S shape from the top of the pitch to the bottom of the pitch.
What you're doing effectively is you're sacrificing proximity to play to make sure you've got an angle to create a judgment, yeah?
Yeah.
I thought I'd explain that for you, that one. I put you on the spot there, mate.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
Okay, Rich, thanks for that. Don't forget, you can contact us, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. We've had quite a few emails, actually. I'd just like to read through some of these emails, Rich.
Yeah, you go for it.
This email here, Rich, is from Martin Pierce from Wells. He just wants to say, thanks very much for a great podcast. Congratulations. I think it's a great modern way to inform and report, making issues come alive as well. So looking forward to more.
Yeah, absolutely. We're trying to move with modern trends and bring our refereeing into that era.
This is from Dexter Ballum. He says, hi Darren, hi Richard. Congratulations on your first podcast. It was very impressive. Make sure you take the mickey out of Roger, because you can hear his tom-tom bleeping in the background as he was driving, which blatantly says that he was speeding whilst doing the phone call, which if you listen back to last month, you can hear that. And I hadn't noticed it until Dexter piped up with it.
Dexter, you need to get a life, mate.
He also goes on to say, my match incident is worse than your two put together, but I'll save that for another day. Keep up the good work, and I expect to see it on iTunes soon. And one here from Pete Moorhood says, just listen to the podcast, thought it was very good, very interesting, congratulations. Thanks a lot, Pete. Again, it's always great to hear your feedback. If you'd like to get in touch, you could email us at this address, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. It's the Referees World Podcast with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon. We've got some dates for the diary in just a second. First of all, something that we're going to be doing each month is giving you, or Richard is anyway, some little tips on how you can improve your refereeing. Tip of the month. So, Rich, what are we going to go with this month?
We're going to talk about managing the defensive wall at attacking free kicks.
Okay.
What's your particular style, Darren?
Okay, the first thing I do is obviously stop the play.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get the ball in position, where it's to be taken from. I would identify who's going to be taking the kick. I'll then say to them, whether it's direct or indirect, please call my whistle. I'll then turn towards goal and walk the required distance. And if some of the defenders are not at the required distance, I'll wait until I'm in position and I'll just sort of say, okay, lads, come on back, keep coming. That's fine, thank you very much. And then as I'm running to take up my position, I would say quite loudly so everybody could hear, it's a direct free kick or an indirect free kick, on my whistle please, and then that'll allow me to get into position, and that's generally how I would do it.
Okay, let's still being run back over that. So you've got the ball spotted,
yep,
to where you want it to be taken from. Yep. How do you ensure that they don't pinch extra yards when you've got your back to the ball? Let me say to you, have a look for markings on the pitch or the adjacent to the pitch. Field of play, as I should be quoting.
We're all doing it tonight, aren't we?
Okay. But look for markings that will help you. Look for distances from the penalty area, and then make a judgment. Place the ball. Instruct them not to take a quick free kick. That's my advice. The advantage really is to have the free kick. If you take a quick free kick and it fails, who's the first person they blame? It's the referee. So it's not your fault that they've taken it, but if you can control the controllables, that's one of those easy ones to do. So you've got the ball spotted. Make a mark, make a mental note of where that ball should be, an approximate distance from the edge of the goal area or an adjacent mark just off the field of play. Walk towards the wall. Don't go behind the wall, but walk towards the wall, talking to the wall and saying, yes please lads, I'd like you back. And then you're also measuring that 9.15 or 10 yards as we commonly know it. So having got them back to that correct position, advise everybody that the game is about to start. Call in direct or direct. Use the whistle. Use the whistle at attacking free kicks. It signifies a lot and it has control.
This is Referees World.
Okay, Rich, thanks for that. Some dates for the diary then.
Yeah, dates for the diary. We did mention last month about provisional FOMOA dates for 2011.
We got an email about that as well, Richard. It was pointed out by Nigel Brown on an email. Thanks again, Nigel. It says, Richard, you didn't give the date for the FOMOA evening, only last year's. And after I'd received that email, I listened back to the podcast and he was absolutely right, because we'd gone off on some other random tangent.
We are trying to be professional, of course. Yeah. But the actual date that we've set in provisionally for the FOMOA evening for 2011 is the 12th of September. That's a Monday evening again. And hopefully we can improve on our 170 persons attendance in 2011.
Rich, you've got some great news about a FOMOA evening on the other side of the country.
Yeah, interestingly, we're as successful as what we have been in Somerset. Sussex actually had 283.
Wow.
That's a fantastic number, and well done to the boys in Sussex. There's a target for us to go for. I certainly don't think that we will achieve that figure next year, but hopefully in a few years' time we will have a good percentage of our referees attending our FOMOA evenings. For the record, their guest speaker was Mark Halsey, and for those of you who know Mark, he's suffered throat cancer in the last 12 months, and his wife has been poorly as well, so his family have been through it, and it was quite an emotional evening, I understand, and the evening was finished with a standing ovation for Mark and his presentation.
And we've got some cup final dates for you as well.
Yes, we have. Carling Cup final is Sunday the 27th of February. The FA Cup final is Saturday the 14th of May. The Champions League final is the 28th of May. All of those are at Wembley this year.
Any dates confirmed locally yet?
No definite confirmed dates for any particular meetings or cup finals. We've had a confirmed date for the assessors course, which is January the 22nd. That is going to be held in Bridgewater. We find that the local leagues are able to accommodate us as regards a match and appointment of appropriate referee for new assessors to come along and try and hone their skills in the assessing.
And don't forget, if there's any dates in the diary in your local RA that you would like us to share, then please feel free to get in touch with us, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
The other thing, just briefly to mention, you'll be aware, I'm sure, that there is an amalgamation or a joining of the RA and the FA to enhance better membership and development of referees between the two bodies. I hope that it will improve membership for the RA, but I also hope that the RA will also not just sit back and let the FA do all the work. So it's a joint effort, and hopefully it will produce the outcome that they're looking for. The last thing I want to mention is there is now a DVD available called Call Yourself a Referee. I first saw it on the FA website, and it's been launched with one of the FA partners supporting it, and that's Carlsberg who've supported it. So you can see, you know, it's well supported and it's well thought of. It's available through Amazon, I know. There may be one or two others as well, but it is available on the FA website. If you go into thefa.com under referee section, you can see it there.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
And this month's match incident provided by Sav, who's been hanging on waiting to share this one with us. Okay, Sav, fire away, tell us a bit about it.
Okay, this was a game that I was at. I was sat around watching. This was Mangotsfield v Andover. And at the time, it was 1-0 to Mangotsfield, and they were down to 10 men. And it was a goal kick to Mangotsfield. And just before the goal kick, the referee was stood by the benches. He then blew his whistle. Now, what it was, another sub had pulled from Andover, had pulled this other sub's shorts and boxers down, as in like a prank.
Is this while he's standing on the halfway line waiting to come on?
No, he was just stood there, just watching the game.
He wasn't actually preparing to come on the field of play or anything like that. He was sort of stood there when he should have been sat down, really.
Yeah, in effect, I suppose. But he was, as soon as he was stood there, the other sub jumped up and pulled his shorts and his boxers down. Now, instead of panicking and pulling them back up, this sub done a little dance on the spot. Right in front of the referee.
It's a bit of Strictly, was it?
Yeah, especially, yeah.
What was the ball control like?
It's all about first touch. All about first touch, Sav.
So without hesitation, the referee pulled out a red card. Okay. And sent this player off.
Yeah.
This sub then jogged across the pitch and went down the dugouts without no complaint.
He did pull his shorts up, though, didn't he?
I was just about to
say. He pulled them up there. Yeah, by then. Right, okay.
You said he got sent off and jogged across the pitch. I'm picturing that he's not got pulled his shorts
up.
Yeah,
I've got this image. So, Rich, what are your thoughts on that, then?
Well, the referee's technically correct. It's not acceptable for that type of behaviour. Unfortunately, it wasn't of his own doing, was it? It was a colleague that done it. So, you know, I would like to think that colleague was magnanimous enough to share the blame and, you know, the cost of whatever it was to the player.
The manager then shook the referee's hand and said, "Fair play, you are right. However, in your report, please can you put that it wasn't his fault and it was another sub's
that's
doing?"
It. Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah, that's fine, but who was the sub?" And he said, "I'm not telling you."
Well, don't worry about that, mate. The referee shouldn't worry either. He reports the facts, and the Football Association will ask for identity of that person that was guilty. If you know what I mean.
Rich, have you ever heard of an incident like that anywhere?
No, not that sort. No. I don't know what to say. I better be careful, as I did say. Exposing yourself.
It's an interesting one, isn't it, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, very interesting match incident there, Rich, I think.
Yes, very interesting. I'm glad it wasn't me involved in any type of style.
I think the spectators got a lot more to see than what they'd have bargained for on that day. Anyway, thanks again to Sav. Right, okay, that's just about it for this month and for this year. As we look towards 2011, we've got some pretty exciting stuff happening over the next few months. We've got some competitions, we've got some great prizes to give away as well. We've got more special guests to look forward to.
Yes, we have. I spoke to Mike Riley a couple of weeks ago at a meeting I was attending and mentioned to him about our podcast, and he's agreed to come on and give us an interview and have a chat.
Listen, Rich, have a great Christmas.
Thanks, Darren.
Contact us now. Referees World Podcast at gmail.com.